The news update for today is...
Recording live with the freshest new monsters on the scene, this is The Creature Report. Welcome to The Creature Report, reporting live on the freshest new creatures built right here for your viewing pleasure. I'm your anchor, Val Patrone. With me today is author, educator, and podcaster, known by some as the person who got me to read a book for the first time, and by others as, hey, don't you cosplay Taco from TV? Aiden Chaser, Chase, as you would. Chase, would you like to formally introduce yourself today?
Yes, hi, I'm Chase here on the scene with Val, a wonderful co-host, podcaster, and animator in a lot of capacities.
Sometimes.
I was like, what is the word for the thing that you do? And I lost the word for the thing that you do. But I may also be known as the person who cosplays Fitzroy Maple Court. So,
from the Adventure Zone?
Yes. Shocking turn of events.
Griffin McElroy, if you're listening, maybe throw a few books at our friend Chase's way. Maybe update those duds. Well, thank you for joining me today. I don't know if you know, but today we're making a brand new show on a brand new station. So let's get down to business. You want to just hop right into it? Do you have anything else you want to say?
I'm just really excited to be the first one on this breaking story. That's what I've got to say about that. This is just, you know, a real honor to be given this assignment.
Of course, naturally, as you deserve. I feel like we can make a break in this case together and describe what we're seeing right here on The Creature Report. So, if you are also just tuning in and you're a little confused, it's more so the feeling that we're going to get to is we're going to describe this creature that we see. We're going to ping pong some ideas of what we see, a fresh new monster for the new era. You know, we're lacking in some fresh monsters and we're not looking in the right places, in my opinion. We've got Draculas, we've got werewolves, we've got, I think Dracula is as vampires, I forgot. but we've got werewolves, we've got Frankenstein, we've got mummies, we got them all. Why don't we get some new creatures up in here? Why don't we find some new creatures with our breaking news team? So I also have been asking the audience at home what they're looking for in a fresh new monster. So Chase, do you want to start off by giving us some sort of vibe for this monster? What are you seeing right now?
Yeah, I mean, you know, a lot of these monsters come out of old dark castles and creepy forbidden forests. So I'm really glad to see one right here smack dab in a corporate office. I just think this is a new hot, fresh take on the monster lore. And I was really excited to get this call and get the scoop on this office creature.
Yeah, I love the office vibe. We really get to see this creature in its natural environment, but it's not, it's unnatural environment, I suppose, since you just described that it came from the forest.
It's nice that we have one that's not from the forest.
Oh, okay. Well, nice I to need to get my hearing changed.
In its natural habitat, the office.
The office space, of course. Now, I do want to remind you, this creature does have a lot of eyes. A lot of eyes. I would say about 34 eyes, wouldn't you say so?
At least one for every cubicle.
Right? And to look into every cubicle, to get a little flavor profile. It's kind of terrifying when, well, maybe not terrifying, but we'll get there. You know, I'm... And, you know, how would you describe this form? Because it's not quite humanoid.
No, not quite. With all 34 of these eyes, you might think that perhaps it could be a predator with all of its eyes facing in one direction, or perhaps it is prey with all of its eyes scattered for a full 360-degree view. It somehow seems to be neither. Its eyes seem to project from its form in sort of all shapes and sizes, giving it just this incredibly horrific ability to sort of move its body in these unnatural ways. I don't know if you've ever played with those gooshy things you hold in your hands when you were a kid. They were like they had like glitter inside, and you could sort of like squish them in and out, you know?
Yes, and you can put your fingers in them and have a little fun time with yourself. That sounded terrible, but yes, I know what you're talking about.
It's like that, but if you added in silly putty with it and a bunch of googly eyes, right? And it just like seems to be able to move of its own accord in this definitely not humanoid shape.
Definitely not humanoid. And I think that's what's interesting. That's what's most interesting.
Do you think it might be friendly?
Now, the friendly factor, looking at it right now in this space, in this office space, I feel like it's a friend to some, but I think more importantly, it's a friend to corporate offices, bosses. You know, I don't think it's a friend to everyone. I think it really protects those corporate people, higher up CEOs. I mean, with all of those eyes and that weird, gooshy body, it's just kind of sloshing around. And it just looking at it, as a friend, I feel like, you know, would I go grab coffee with it? Yeah, probably. I would probably slide my resume across the table and see if there was anything available at the position currently. But it's not actually my friend, you know? Like, I don't know. It's definitely out for the bosses. It's like a yes man to the bosses, you know?
It's like the guy who says that they're your friend and they'll definitely go out with you, but if you slip like, huh, I took an extra 5 minutes on my lunch break yesterday, they will absolutely rat you out to get a promotion.
Oh, of course. They would eviscerate you. They would destroy you, in fact, and I think that's something that, you know, it's kind of terrifying in a way, but, you know, at the same time, I do really think, like, at its core, it is absolutely cool, you know?
Yeah, I think it's the swirling glitter, you know? It just, you can't get around swirling glitter. It's just cool.
No, right.
It's the coolest thing I've ever seen. It's like watching a field of stars sort of, you know, explode into a series of supernovas and wink out of existence all at once. And that is quite honestly the coolest thing I've ever seen.
Right. And honestly, having 34 eyeballs is, I mean, like, let's be honest, like, even though it does see all and it would probably rat you out and eviscerate you in the office, probably when you hang out just one-on-one, pretty cool. Like, its peepers are everywhere. It's make sure that your purse doesn't get stolen. It's making sure that you don't fall in a crack and break your mother's back. It's always got its eyes out there. It's always looking out for you specifically with all of those 34 eyeballs.
And it will definitely notice when you don't tip your servers.
Right, exactly. It will. That's the big thing. Now, and I do think that this being is, I do think it is more prone to help out the CEOs and executives, but I think, you know, at the core of it, like, it can be a friend to you as well, because it is pretty cool. Now, do you think it's, there's no proper way to ask this, like, sexual orientation or gender presentation, what are we feeling here? Are they LGBT? Are they straight? Like, what is the, you know, the vibe?
I think that's a really excellent question. I think it's probably the question on everyone's mind, right? Like, just, you know, is it a Babadook? Is it another great icon for the, you know, LGBT community? Is it going to be one for the team? And I really feel like it's got to be somewhere under all that glitter, somewhere under all of those eyes, somewhere under that, I think it's a mouth, that sort of gaping maw. I don't know what you could, mm-hmm. I really don't know another term for that, gaping maw. Forbid right. it be anything else. So I think it really is. I think it's, I was thinking like, you know, it's corporate. Maybe it's an icon in the way that the Rainbow Isle in Target every June is an icon. But I think it's more than that. I think it goes a bit deeper, that somewhere beyond all of that glitter, it knows. I think its gender presentation is a void for a reason.
Yeah, yeah. And that's really interesting that you say that. Yeah, and I think that's another point too, is I do also get this kind of LGBT vibe. And maybe that's what makes it absolutely cool. Like, listen, I'm an LGBT person and I completely vibe with other LGBT people for the most part. And I am getting this vibe of like, I want to hang out with this person. I want to, you know, well, not person, this being. And I haven't interacted with this being, just to be entirely clear. I haven't taken any samples.
Perfectly observing mm-hmm. in our study.
Yes. Yes. About we are taking the six feet. Social distancing from this mm-hmm. creature. Mm-hmm. We are taking our emotional time and energy to make sure that we are taking precautions. We haven't gotten that close. However, I do feel this, dare I say, queer vibe from this creature. And I want to trust it in that aspect. You know what I mean?
I do. As someone who is neither the L, neither the G, nor the B, and nor the T, but does consider myself part of that plus, I really mm-hmm. just feel safe, you know, around this creature. And I think that it's got some good energy.
Right.
Yeah, obviously we should probably ask it, but that would violate the Prime Directive, and we can't really interact with it on that level. God, except like we couldn't even understand it. So,
of course,
we're doing our best here.
We're trying. Just to be entirely clear, we don't condone doing this with regular humanoids. Don't try to guess. You know, it's always nice to properly ask people's pronouns, and you know, it's okay to even ask sexual identities if you are engaging in that sort of thing or would like to engage in that sort of thing with partners. However, with interacting with these new sorts of creatures that come, it's difficult because, you know, we as observers want to keep our space. We want to make sure that, you know, we're taking the proper precautions. We're kind of anthropologists in that way.
Yeah, I think that's the right word for it.
Mm-hmm.
We also want to be aware we are in an office setting, and when you're in an office setting, you know, you want to be accepting of the people around you and not pry into their personal life, and particularly knowing how this creature is about office rules and regulations, I think it would be much more cautious about how we interact with each other. We don't want any discomfort in the office, anything that would violate the ergonomics of this team.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes. And, you know, thankfully we did get permission from HR to enter into this space and, you know, record and make sure that this monster is properly documented. However, you know.
So that's an interesting point, please. Bring up. No, you use the word monster and corrected yourself. So I've got to ask. I think really what, you know, the mothers and children at home want to know is this monster as horrifying as we have described it to be?
Now, in my opinion, and, you know, maybe we can bounce off of each other here, it's not so scary. I think it's more so misunderstood. You know, we talked a lot about how it's got this corporate lifestyle, how it works for the bosses, how it works for the, you know, for these CEOs and producers and whatnot. But I don't think it wants to do this forever. I think, you know, as much as this is its natural habitat, and how much it loves to just keep climbing the ladder and helping those bosses and CEOs and whatnot, I think it really is trying to break away from that. I think it's misunderstood. I think it's trying to get out. I think it's trying to leave. I mean, it would still buy me coffee if we went out for coffee. It would still look at my resume. And I think it would also talk to me just about the struggles of being a creature in an office space. Now, what would you say on the matter?
I think you're definitely getting to the heart of it. I think that there's a lot more going on in this creature beneath that swirling, gooey surface that we just can't see. I think what this creature really craves as it climbs that ladder isn't just power for power's sake, but that power we all crave, and that's the power of control of our own destiny. And mm-hmm. I think that it just fits really well into this office space where it knows its role and it knows what it's supposed to do and it knows the structure. But once it finds itself free of what it knows, it will find what it can be. And I really can't wait to see what it does when it breaks out of its shell. Hopefully I'm not, you know, hopefully I'm on a Zoom call with it when I see it happen, because I feel like it's going to get really messy and really gooey. I'm a little concerned about that for my own, you know, health and safety. I think it would be concerned too. You know, you want to make sure that the safety protocols are in place. I can't wait to see what it becomes when it breaks out of that shell.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a great way. That's a very beautiful way to put that. Like I truly do want to emphasize that I believe this creature is misunderstood. Calling it a monster, I wouldn't say is disingenuous. I feel like, you know, if you're a corporate cog, you can be a monster. But at the same time, I mean, we've seen a lot happen now just by being here the past, you know, 15 minutes, watching this creature grow and transform and engage with its environment. And I just think it's misunderstood, you know, it really trying to understand it. And looking at it and if wondering, like, is it iconic? Is it not iconic? Is something I've been kind of stewing about, and like how we feel about it too. Like, what are your feelings on this?
Yeah, I definitely am feeling that safety in the sense of, you know, I think it's an ally and would support me in mm-hmm. some measure. I also definitely feel a little bit terrified, to be honest. All those winking stars and swirling glitter. Mm-hmm. It's kind of entrancing in a way. I almost, you know, kind of want to fall into it.
Yeah.
But we are maintaining our social distance as anthropologists. I really should not get any closer. I really, really shouldn't get any closer to it. And, I also find it beautiful in a way. I would like to paint it someday. I'm also afraid if I painted it, I might fall into that painting too and be lost forever.
It's a deep sort of vast adoration for this creature, you know. Love. I think that this creature is something that I could love in my future. You know, and something that I can appreciate now and cherish now and fall into entirely, you know, right into that gooshy center and just fall into it. And its many eyes can look over and protect me. But at the same time, again, it won't always protect me. And I have to remind myself of that. It won't always protect us. Because it is working for the machine.
I think that's one of its many defense mechanisms, right, is that it has so many eyes not to remind you that it is a predator always watching you, but to make you feel safe and to make you feel comforted and forget that, yeah, you're right, it's part of the man. It's part of the big, big machine that just wants to grind us into dust. But someday it'll break free of that.
Mm-hmm. I can only hope. Well, I want to describe this a little bit more in detail, but I feel at this point maybe we're spending a little too much time engaging with this sort of creature. When we have to get to lunch soon, So Chase,
I have one more question for you, actually, before we go.
Of course.
Where do you think this creature came from? What do you think its lore is?
The lore, the deep lore of it. You know, if I had to guess, just looking at its shape, I think it's, I don't want to say it's alien, but I do think it's from what we consider to be space and star. I truly think, based off of the physical appearance of this creature, plus its many eyes, its insides, how we can kind of very clearly see through what would be considered its skin. You know, what I assume is, you know, intergalactic star goo hitting the Earth and gaining sentience. I mean, that's just a pitch. I mean, what are your thoughts on the matter?
I think you're right on the space front. I'm thinking it is probably the remnants of abandoned satellites. So that it's not entirely alien. It's definitely made of our own corporate madness and the byproducts of capitalism. But I definitely think it fell from the sky. I think it is leftover bits from those satellites that have burned out and are not working any longer. It's just searching for its purpose, like it used to have a long time ago, is the ghost of the machine.
So true. That's so true. That's, wow, that's very, that weighs a lot on me. And I think you're right, just looking at it, looking how almost sad the eyes are, all 34 of them and counting, are just longing to find purpose. You know, and I think that might be a little bit of all of us. I mean, you know, who's the creature now? Am I right?
We are all truly monsters underneath.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You got that right. Well, how would you rate this creature? Would you say it's, I don't know, would you say it's iconic? Would you say it's a 10 out of 10 or 0 out of 10? How are we feeling?
I would definitely say it's iconic. I don't know about iconic, I think, definitely.
Got it.
I think it's probably, it's definitely got some Thursday vibes. Not quite Friday, but definitely Thursday vibes. And I think I would probably rate it maybe 1.2 trillion galaxies out of 7.5 quadrillion, I think. Well, that seems a little low. Maybe 1.2 quadrillion out of 7.5 quadrillion.
Yeah, that's I would agree with that rating. You know, I definitely think this creature has some sort of iconic value. And if I had to rate it, I would say probably, you know, 10 failed Elon Musk satellites out of 10.
I think that's beautiful. Yeah. I think there's only one more question we need to answer.
Of course.
As the people who discovered this first, what will you name this creature?
Well, I feel like we can kind of look at it and talk about like what we've learned from it. Like I would say something with a goosh or a sploosh or some sort of star juice. And you
I
know,
do
it's
like star juice. Wow, that's powerful.
Yeah, star juice. Something star juice. Or some the sentient star juice, or I'm ping-ponging with you. We've both technically discovered this fresh new creature.
I'm thinking about this, the sparkle and the stars, and I'm thinking maybe like the wink pink star juice, or
oh yeah,
the twinkle pink or twinkle wink. Which I'm you know I'm an English teacher. I love those rhymes.
I like twinkle pink star juice. And I'm going to tell you why, because I feel like as we learn more about these star juices, there's going to be different varieties besides the twinkle pink. But I think that twinkle pink is going to be the one that really brings their species to the forefront, you know?
Absolutely. I think that that's a really good point, that this is only the first in what will be many more subspecies to be discovered.
Of course, of course.
So keep an eye open for the eyes in your corporate office.
Ooh, yes, of course. Yeah, keep your peepers peeled. Your producer might be piping and peeping and Pooping. Oh, look at me. Alliteration got me too far. Well, maybe it's time to wrap this episode of the Creature Report. Chase, where can folks find you at?
Aiden Chaser on Twitter and Aiden Chase on AO3, where you're going to find all the hot new reports of YA fan fiction coming live.
Well, we do love YA fan fiction here. Again, you did get me to read a lovely book. And is there anything else you'd like to say to anyone out there?
Just, you know, like you said, keep those eyes peeled and keep that mouth definitely closed in case of goosh splashing in the future.
Ooh, yep. Yes, yes, I absolutely agree with that. And if that's that on that, then this has been the Creature Report. Thank you for joining us this evening. You can find the Creature Report on Hey Val Patron's Twitter feed. That's again at Hey, as in hello, Val Patron, as in my name, on my Twitter feed and on plenty of other Twitter feeds that I will be posting on. Yes, I can hack. No, I can't. I'm sorry. I lied. I just was on a roll. But this has been the Creature Report, and thanks for tuning in. And don't forget to tune in next time, if there is a next time.
The Creature Report is brought to you by the following sponsors. Editorial done by Mae Murphy. Show artwork done by A. Havison. Theme song is Breaking News Music / News Intro Music. Free copyright. Live music for video library on YouTube. Introduction by Karen on track 13 of Party Fun with Reporters, Volume 1. Thanks for tuning in.